If you want to support the show, you can go to mwpnews.com/support, where you can pick up my latest book, Succession Planning, and all my other books that have previously been released on Kindle for only $2.99 each. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam, recording my second podcast of the day, and it's only 12:30. So I'm tired today and a little congested, so please bear with me on that front. But today we're here to talk about some of the biggest news stories in the week, including the new trailer for X-Men 97, Fantastic Four, Godzilla, X-Kong, Respawn. We're going to talk about the Marvels and some other stuff. But let's get started with the big news stories from the week. So number one, we have a new X-Men 97 trailer. We have a release date, March 20th, so we know that X-Men 97 will be coming in the relative near future. Which is good. I think it's good that they're rebranding the animation as its own thing. I think that the idea of having an interconnected MCU, even with television, was a good idea out of the gate. But inherently we run into this idea where if everything's equally canon, then the people who don't want to pay for Disney Plus will feel left out. The people who don't want to watch the TV shows will feel left out. And then you have to sit here and be like, well, is it worth losing those people from the theatrical? Not really. So let's just make it into context in the same way that it's always been. I'm not, you know, I'll still watch everything, and there are people who will still watch everything, but, and when we get to today's movie we're going to talk about, you know, we'll address that more. Like, things don't always line up 100% with TV shows, and that's because the TV shows don't always get watched by people. So there's an assumption people aren't watching, so let's just, you know, do that. I think rebranding it as Marvel Animation is interesting. And it does give them the space to do stuff without feeling bogged down and stuck in the same world as everything else. Like, it allows them more freedom. And that's always a good thing. If we could have stories being told that are, you know, without the constraints of the cinematic universe, that's a good thing. I do find it funny there's been discourse about it because Morph is being referred to as non-binary, so all of a sudden now people are saying the X-Men have gone woke, and I'm like, my man, like, the X-Men have always been woke. Like, that's their thing, is they're woke. Like, they fight injustice. Like, Professor X and Magneto were designed to be two sides of the same coin, akin to, and modeled specifically after, Martin Luther King as Professor X, and Malcolm X as Magneto. Very specifically from the beginning. And I saw someone say, like, oh, well, the X-Men isn't about fighting injustice, it's about fighting giant robots. And to which I say, if you watch the first episode of the animated show from 1992, which I did, because I'm like, let me start watching this before the new show comes out, because I've never watched it. Because I was born in 94. The show began its run 2 years before I was born and ended the run when I was 2 years old. So I never got a chance to watch it. And it's on Disney Plus now, so, like, let me get into this. And I watch this show and I'm like, oh, holy shit. Like, very early on in this first episode, they explain and lay out the world. Like, the Sentinels were built to identify and root out mutants. Like, it's just silly to me that people don't, like, at this point, I don't know if it is people just don't know how to read what they're watching, and I think this goes back to a wider issue of, I think that identity politics as a whole is a reductive way to watch or consume any media. Identity politics reduce down, you know, any nuance to who's on screen. And that's how you end up with people who are like, oh, I think Dune's a pro-religion book and movie. It's like, well, no. Dune is very specifically about the dangers of religion. That's how you end up with people thinking that Starship Troopers is a, you know, is not a satire. Like, it's, and not understanding that fascism is bad. That's how you end up with people who watch The Simpsons and are like, well, they're a white-coated family of four, of five, who live in a house with a white picket fence in the suburbs. Like, obviously, they would be the conservative media, and it's like, well, not at all, if you actually watch the show. And when you focus more on what's physically on the screen versus what's being done on the screen, that's how you end up with this stuff. Like, it's just not reading for context. And I don't know if it's a willful ignorance or an unintentional ignorance. Either way, it's not great. But on to the next story, we have our Fantastic Forecast. And what I mean by that is Fantastic Four space cast, not a great weather prediction for the near future. So it is as follows. Pedro Pascal has been cast as Reed Richards. Vanessa Kirby has been cast as Sue Storm. Joseph Quinn has been cast as Johnny Storm. And Ebon Moss Bachrach has been cast as Ben Grimm. I hope we get a point where Ben Grimm meets the Punisher as a fan of the Bear. That could be fun. But I think it's a good cast. I'm not 100% certain who Joseph Quinn is. And I think that's something that I would have to see. I would like, I've seen Pedro Pascal in enough roles where I think he's got versatility, where I think he could be a good Reed Richards. And Vanessa Kirby is just fantastic. So that's a great one too. I'm interested to see who they've cast as Herbie. That's gonna be the big question going into this. Well, big question. I mean, allegedly also the bad guy is going to be Galactus. I heard Antonio Banderas, so that could not be the case anymore. I don't know. I'm interested to see where they go with that. And we will see what happens there. Also, related to this, Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four have switched dates. So next year, Fantastic Four will be coming in July. Thunderbolts will be coming in, what's it called? In May. Which makes sense because Thunderbolts is shooting first, and also it's a big Avengers crossover event. Well, not an Avengers crossover, but it's a big crossover event. You want that May date for it. I'm interested to see how that plays out. I don't think these dates actually stick either. I think that what we end up with is, I think Fantastic Four moves back to November. I think that this moves back to its original date. Thunderbolt moves back to its original date. And then we Blade gets moved to either February or May. I also think it's possible, I talked about it a little bit, and you'll hear it on Wednesday on Exploring Hyperspace Lanes. I talked about how I think that it's possible that Kang Dynasty gets moved again, back another year. But we'll see how that works out. It'll be interesting though, see how that plays. Let's see, what else have we got? Fantastic Four, are they there already? Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire has a new trailer. I don't know what more to say about this movie or what this is gonna do to sell me on this movie anymore. I mean, look, I'm here for this. I'm here for anything that they gotta put together with Godzilla and Kong in this MonsterVerse. That shot of them taking the building and just fucking throwing it at them, like, it's great. This movie's gonna be fucking ridiculous. It's gonna be awful. I'll be there for it day one. Like, I'm here for this. But we'll see how that one comes when it comes out in a few months or next month, actually. Is that next month or is that April? It's April. And finally, Respawn has announced that they are making a, or is reportedly making a Mandalorian first-person shooter. I don't know. Do I really need this? Look, I'm here for Star Wars video games. Like, I'm looking forward to Outlaws, which is coming to consoles this year. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how that game plays and all of that. I don't know if I need another one, especially in a world where that exists. Like a first-person shooter Mandalorian game, I don't know. It's not something that's drawing me in. It's not making me go, "Ooh, I need this right now." I cannot wait until this comes. Maybe because I don't like first-person shooters. That's probably got something to do with it. But yeah, that's this week's big news. Let's move on to our next part, which is where we talk about the box office from last weekend. So, number one, we have Bob Marley: One Love, which we'll be covering on Beware of Spoilers yesterday, with $27 million, 27.7. Number two is Madame Web, with $15.1 million. Number three, down from number one, is Argylle, at 4.7 million. Then number four, we have Migration, up a slot to 3.7 million. And The Chosen season four, episode four through six, which is a Fathom event, moves is a newcomer and is 3.4 million. Now, Lisa Frankenstein has fallen all the way to number nine at $2.0 million. Last week's number two movie. Now with its third week. No big surprises there. It's a weak month, let's be honest. Like, the next month, Dune is gonna come in and do good business, and I think too, Ghostbusters is gonna do good business. But for right now, we're kind of in that early year lull, which is not great for theaters. So we'll see how that plays out. Coming to theaters next week, we have Ordinary Angels, which is that movie about the girl with the liver transplant, with Alan Ritchson and I think Hilary Swank, and Drive Away Dolls from one of the Coen brothers, starring Geraldine Viswanathan, I think is how you pronounce her name, and Margaret Qualley, with a trailer that I've been seeing for a while now because it got delayed due to the strikes. And coming to home movie this week, we have Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, which is a really solid movie. Really solid coming-of-age movie about coming into your own and discovering your sexuality. Very much worth watching. And I would say that's worth checking out. Hang on. Which brings us to our last thing of the week, which is where we will talk about a movie that's now out on streaming and on Blu-ray, I think. The Marvels, which I watched again on Disney Plus this week. And I was concerned that there was a possibility that my gung-ho love of this movie was due to the fact that I was like, oh, I see a lot of people hating on it. I'm not entirely sure why. Kind of the Batman v Superman situation that I had, where I was like, yeah, it's not that bad. Like, I've definitely seen worse. And I really enjoyed it the first time, and I watched it again, and I was like, this is a thoroughly enjoyable movie. I think that the cast has a lot of fun. They have some great moments. They have a lot of opportunities to really play off of each other and really establish that dynamic that really works for them. It doesn't feel egregiously attached to anything that came before it, which is surprising considering there were two TV shows that tied into it. Three, really. I mean, I think it's don't acknowledge Secret Invasion at all. It's a well done movie. I mean, and it's a quick one. It's not one that overstays its welcome. It's quick, and a lot of the jokes in this movie that work are the kind of things that, like, if Gunn, I firmly believe that if James Gunn made this movie exactly the same way, and it came out, this movie would not have been as poorly received as it was. I think that there's a lot that goes into why there's a hatred of this movie from some parts of the fan base, and I feel like it's a lot of the same things that go into hatred of Eternals, which is like there was a narrative constructed around the movie going into it, and I think that was the thing that really hurt it more than anything else. This narrative that you needed to have watched the Miss Marvel, and you needed to have watched WandaVision to understand what was going on here, and people did, and you know what? It's a valid criticism. If it was a legitimate thing that happened, it'd be a valid criticism, but it wasn't. It wasn't what happened. You didn't need to watch those two shows. Anything you needed to know about these characters was established within the movie. Like, and you don't need to have seen these other things. I think that narrative was crafted and co-opted by people who were doing it for nefarious reasons, to try and keep the movie down for political reasons. Because, like, I hate to say it, but, like, this is one of the least, like, quote-unquote, woke movies I've ever seen. Like, not least woke, like, Sound of Freedom, but like there's no political, there's very little political agenda here. And I think too part of what hurt it is this idea, like this conflict going on. Well, not conflict, conflict's the wrong word. This one-sided beatdown of Palestine by the Israelis. I think that had something to do with it, where it's like when you look at this movie, and there's a key plot point in this movie that has to do with the fact that the Kree are letting the Skrulls have this small space, and then the Skrulls think that there's a terrorist there. So the Kree think there's a terrorist who's conspiring with the Skrulls, that being Captain Marvel. So they're like, all right, now I'm gonna kill you all. Like, it is a it's one of those things that hit a little too close to home that I think also impacted the movie as well, in not a way that they could have seen coming. But I say check it out. It's pretty. It's still really good, and there's a lot of really funny moments. And I stand by that. And it's the thing where it's like I watch it, I'm like, I regret not putting this in my top 10. I think it's definitely one of the best movies to come out last year. I would watch it. I would watch this movie over and over again, but I would not do that with Guardians 3. But we'll wrap up there for today. We'll keep it short today because I'm not feeling great. I'm a little stuffy and all of that. But we'll be back with more throughout the week. So until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.